This is Pastor Emery. According to the Bible, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were to take the light of God's Word to the ends of the earth, and to be a blessing to all the other races of the world. World Christian missions have been carried out primarily by the so-called Gentile races of Europe and North America. Is it possible these people of Europe and of America are fulfilling other Bible prophecies about Israel also? This radio series is somewhat in the middle of a study of the covenants and promises in the Bible made to the children of Abraham. America's Promise is a radio program addressed to American listeners. However, we recently decided to broadcast it to Europe also. This program will be the first one that will be heard in England and parts of Western Europe. So, for new listeners in Europe and for new listeners in America, I am going to digress just a little to demonstrate that the New Testament, which Christians accept as a divinely inspired part of the Bible, is addressed to the same descendants of Abraham we've been reading about in the Old Testament. It is rather common today in theological circles to divide the Bible into two parts and take the old part, that portion written before Christ, and say, oh, that was all written to the Jews. And then to take the new part, that portion written after the death and resurrection of Christ, and say that is addressed to Gentile Christians. However, many ministers and most Bible students do recognize that the writers of the New Testament continually referred to the Old Testament as the basis for their New Testament doctrine, and in fact, quoted Old Testament prophecies scores of times in their explanations of Jesus Christ and their own prophecies of events to come. The New Testament foundation is the Old Testament. The confusion lies not so much in dividing the Bible into two books, but in totally separating them, and not making it plain to the people that the latter part is really a continuation of the first part, and that the New Testament is written to and written about the same people, the people called Israel. One gets little argument when one points out that the Old Testament was written by Israelites, that it is a record of the history of Israel, that God made the covenant with Israel, that the law was given to Israel, and that when it speaks of future events, those events are things which were to come to pass in and to the Israel people. And one still gets agreement when one points out that the New Testament was also written by Israelites, that it is a record of the history of Jesus Christ as he came to Israel, that the New Testament refers to a new covenant to be made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and that there is much in the New Testament writings about the prophetic future of the Israel people. However, these same clergymen who will agree with you so far on that, will then proceed to enter their pulpits or speak on the radio and will speak over and over about the New Testament being for the Christians and the Old Testament for the Jews. So I propose to point you to a number of passages in the New Testament which should make it plain that the New Testament is as much of an Israelitish book or message from God to Israel, as is the Old. And further, that you Christians may see that God is actually identifying you as Israelites, children of Abraham, the inheritors of the covenants and the promises written in the Old Testament. On my broadcast several weeks ago, when I announced the availability of our movie, a movie made by America's Promise Radio, I read Galatians 3 and verse 29, an off-quoted verse from the New Testament. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I said this then, and it bears repeating. Millions of people in Europe and America attend Christian churches and claim to be Christians. In effect, they say they are Christ. But if you were to ask them how that makes them Abraham's seed, and what are the promises which they are to inherit, very few would be able to give you a cogent answer. In our movie, Heirs of the Promise, which I narrate, I read the promises in the Bible that God made to Abraham. And I point out that we, yes, we Christians, have been blessed as God kept those promises to us, that those promises have been kept in and among the Christian peoples of Europe and North America, usually with most of our people not even realizing that God is blessing us because of what He promised He would do with Abraham's seed. In my own city of Phoenix, Arizona, I often hear ministers quote Isaiah 35 and verse 1 about how the desert of Israel would blossom as the rose. And then they refer to the Jews irrigating several hundred thousand acres of desert in Palestine. They apparently forgot or never knew that we have more land under irrigation in our county, yes, in Maricopa County in Arizona, than do the Jews in all of Palestine. In addition, Christians in many lands, especially in North America, have irrigated millions of acres of desert land. Christians from Europe have been the organizers and sponsors of great irrigation works in North Africa, the Middle East, Australia, and the subcontinent of Asia. The desert blossomed as the rose under Christian hands, not in a few thousand acres, but in tens of millions of acres across the earth. So Isaiah 35 and verse 1 seems to have had a greater fulfillment in those people claiming they are Christ and therefore Abraham's seed than in the people who claim to be Abraham's seed but who reject Jesus Christ. But I am getting ahead of my story. First, take your Bibles and follow with me, and I use the King James translation. Follow with me in the New Testament. Just a few of the many passages to prove the New Testament is an Israelite book. The first verse in the New Testament, Matthew 1, verse 1, identifies it as, quote, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So Matthew is writing a book about Jesus, who was descended in his humanity from Father Abraham. Then are listed his human ancestry, every one of them an Israelite, except, of course, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those three are technically not Israelites. They can be called Hebrews, since their ancestor was Heber, but only those following Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, can really be called Israelites. I've heard some call Abraham a Jew, when in point of fact, Abraham was not even an Israelite, and no one in the Bible is even called by the name Jew until 2 Kings 16 and verse 6, which was 900 years after Abraham was dead. Anyway, the New Testament begins by tracing Jesus back to Abraham. Matthew 2 and verse 6, the wise men tell Herod that Jesus was come to rule over Israel. After Jesus began to preach, he chose 12 disciples, all Israelites, and we read in Matthew 10 and verse 6 that he commanded them to, quote, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Gospel of Mark begins in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, by telling us Jesus came as it is written in the prophets. Those prophets, of course, were Israelites. Luke begins his narrative with some family background of John the Baptist and Jesus, and in verse 17 of the first chapter, he records that the angel said of John, quote, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, who were the people John would prepare for the Lord or for Jesus Christ? Well, the verse just before this tells us, verse 16, Luke 1, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Now, taking that in the context of the rest of the New Testament, the angel certainly meant that many Israelites would believe in Jesus Christ and would become Christians. When? Sometime in the future? No. Back at the time when Jesus came to walk on the earth. That same chapter quotes a long prophecy by John's father about Jesus Christ, why Jesus came, and what Jesus would accomplish. Now, you folks who think the New Testament is not addressed to Israel, you listen to this. In verse 67 of Luke 1, it says, Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, verse 68, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Now, who are God's people? Well, the Israelites, of course. Verse 69, And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us, and remember, Zacharias was an Israelite, for us Israelites, in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. Now, notice Zacharias, who was a priest in Israel, is saying that the coming of Jesus Christ was directly related to God's promise to keep his covenant that he had sworn to Father Abraham. Now, if you believe Galatians 3:29 makes you, as a Christian, an inheritor of those promises to Abraham, listen to what that promise or covenant Zacharias was referring to was. Verse 74 and 75 of Luke 1. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. How about that? This great prophecy of Jesus Christ says that he came to keep the promise of delivering Abraham's seed from the hand of their enemies that they might serve God. Oh, I thought Jesus came so that when we died, we might go to heaven and live happily ever after. At least that is what the evangelicals and the theologians tell us all the time. And yet here, a priest in Israel connects Jesus Christ to God's promises to Abraham that Abraham's descendants would be delivered from their enemies. It doesn't say a thing about delivering any so-called Gentiles to heaven, but delivering Israel from her enemies. The last verse in Luke 1 verifies that John the Baptist came to Israelites to prepare the way of Jesus Christ. Verse 80, And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. In Luke 2, after Jesus was born, he was taken by his parents to the temple to be dedicated. According to the Mosaic law, you can read that in verse 22 through 24. And while there, a man named Simeon appeared at the temple. Verse 25 and 26. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now Christ means Messiah or Redeemer. In Luke 1 and verse 68, Zacharias had said that God had visited and redeemed his people. Now here is Simeon, identifying Jesus Christ as that Redeemer, Israel's Christ. Verse 27 through 32, And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. The word Gentiles in verse 32 comes from the Greek word ethnos. It means nation. So Simeon was saying that Jesus was to be, through Israel, a light to lighten the nations. And Christians from Europe and North America have printed and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation on earth in the last century. It is through them, the so-called Gentile Christians, that Jesus has been a light to lighten the nations. And if these Christians of Europe and America are Abraham's seed, because of Galatians 3 and verse 29 where we read, "If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise," if they are Abraham's seed, then they are the Israel through whom it is fulfilled that Jesus was to be a light to the nations. That same verse 32 in Luke 2 says that Jesus would be, quote, "the glory of thy people Israel." The fulfillment of that phrase is also found in Christendom. Jesus Christ is the glory of the Christian peoples of Europe, America, Australia, and South Africa. Another promise or prophecy to Israel fulfilled in Christendom. Can they be Israel? Let us go on in our study proving the New Testament is addressed to Israel. Jesus continually referred to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in his teachings, often quoting passages from the Old Testament as he taught. In the last chapter of Luke, after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the men on the road to Emmaus. They did not recognize him, and when he asked them why they were sad, they replied about the Jesus whom they now thought to be dead, verse 21 of Luke 24, "We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." Their statement is proof they thought of Jesus as the Redeemer of Israel, which of course he is called many times. In verse 44, after Jesus revealed himself to the rest of the men, he made it plain to them that he, Jesus, was the fulfillment of prophecies made to Israel. Verse 44, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Jesus then speaks of the future and of the mission his Israelite disciples were to accomplish. Verse 47, "That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witness of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." So in the little that we have read, the Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus Christ came to Israel, that he came as a result of prophecies to Israel, that he came to keep promises and covenants God had made with Abraham and with Israel, and that Jesus Christ would then be preached to all nations through these Israelites who would believe on him. In Acts 1, Jesus said to these same Israelite disciples, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." In Mark 16 and verse 15, these Israelite disciples were told, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now these prophecies have all come to pass. They have been accomplished by Christian Europeans and Americans. They not only claim the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament as the book of their religious faith. They have translated it into almost every known tongue. They have printed tens of millions of copies of it, and they have taken it to all nations and tribes of the earth, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And yet we are told by the clergy that these Europeans and Americans are not Israelites. Did God make a mistake in addressing these prophecies to Israel? Was Jesus Christ a failure in his mission to Israel? Did his commands get obeyed only by the inadvertent happenstance of another race doing what Jesus had instructed Israel to do? Or are these people what Galatians 3:29 says they are, Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? This is Pastor Emery. God willing, next week we'll continue this theme of connecting the Old Testament and the New Testament, and of connecting Israel and Christendom. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian Israel.